We've been learning a lot about what it means to live under the Lordship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I have been discovering in this series of messages based out of Romans chapter number 14 that Jesus is Lord of the dead, is Lord of the living, that this is the reason why that he came and died and rose and revived is so that he might be our Lord. And that is that you and I were under the dominion of sin and under the dominion of Satan, under the condemnation of death in our natural position as human beings. But God sent his Son into the world. Jesus came. And he came that he might redeem us from that condition, that he might pay the price and deliver us out of the kingdom of darkness so that you and I can now be a part of the kingdom of Christ, that is, where he's king and where he is Lord. And if you've entered into his kingdom, then that means you're under his kingship or you're under his lordship. You've got a brand new Lord in your life. It's not sin, it's the Savior. You've got a brand new Lord. It's not death, but it is the Lord Jesus himself that now dominates your life. That is, the one who is life is now your Lord and not death. You've got a brand new Lord in your life. And that happened at the moment of your conversion. That is, when God saved you, you surrendered yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. You entered into that realm, that kingdom in which he is Lord, in which he is King. And now that you and I are part of that kingdom, we're learning how to live under his Lordship. And that is, we grew up learning how to live under the dominion of sin and Satan and death. But now we're in a brand new kingdom. We live in a new realm. We're part of a new creation as new creatures in Christ under the dominion and lordship of Christ. And you and I are learning how to live under his lordship and how to live a life that is submissive to him, that's focused on him, to live a life that is under the lordship of Christ. And I've been trying to speak about that. I've said to you a few things already, and that is, you and I spend a little bit of time talking about the fact that those who are living under the lordship of Christ, we recognize the person of Christ. And that is that we recognize who he is. And that we recognize that he's the creator. We recognize that he's the one who is the sustainer of all things. We recognize that he's the redeemer of our souls, and we just know something about his person. And listen, when you realize who he is, when you get to know his person, that is who our Savior is, who our Lord is, then you know why it is that you ought to submit to him as Lord of all the areas of your life and just live under his lordship. I'm talking about recognizing the person of Christ. We spend a little bit of time also just remembering the power of Christ. Just remembering how all-powerful he is, that he's the one who has all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. He's the one who can say to the storm, be still, and it does. He's the one who can speak to the disease, and it has to flee. He's the one who can cast out the most powerful of demons. He's the one that can speak to the dead, and they come to life. That is, he's the one who's all-powerful. He's the one, therefore, who deserves to be our Lord. And we just tried to remember for a little while the power of Christ. And then we spent some time just trying to realize the preeminence of Christ. That is, based on who we know who he is as a person and what we've seen about his power, then we know that he's preeminent. He's preeminent over the old creation and over the new creation. The old creation, ladies and gentlemen, he's preeminent because he's creator of all, that it all belongs to him. And he's also preeminent over the new creation, that is the body of Christ, the church of the living God. He's the head of the body, which is the church. He's the one who's preeminent over the church. He's preeminent over the old creation because he's creator. He's preeminent over the new creation because he is our redeemer. He's the one who's above all and over all. He's the most important one there is. Whether you're looking at the old creation or the new, there's nobody, there's nothing that is more important than what Jesus is. There's not anything in your life that's more important than Jesus is. He's number one. Above all and over all, he is preeminent. Now listen, if you ever get a little glimpse of the preeminence of Christ, then you'll understand why we ought to submit to him as Lord and live under his lordship. That is, we've been recognizing the power of Christ and just remembering His power and His presence. And we've been talking about His preeminence. But over the past couple of services, I've been preaching to you about just responding to the purpose of Christ. That is, the Bible tells us here in Romans 14:9, it gives us a purpose statement. It says, for this end, or in other words, we could word it this way, for this purpose, Christ both died and rose and revived, and here's the purpose, so that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. That is, the purpose of our Savior, ladies and gentlemen, is to be Lord. That's the reason why he came. That's why he died on the cross. And his purpose is to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be your Lord. And he wants to be Lord over every area of your life. He's not a Lord that just wants to take a back seat, but he's the Lord that wants to be in the driver's seat. By its very nature, lordship means he's the one that is driving your life, not the one you're dragging along with you as you live your life the way you want to, but he's the one who's Lord of your life. He's the one who's steering the wheel. He's the one who's taking you in whatever direction it's his will for you to go in. That's lordship, and that's his purpose. His purpose is to be Lord of your body, to be Lord of your mind, to be Lord of your will, to be Lord of your possessions, to be Lord of every area of your life. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he's up to in your life. To follow Jesus means he's Lord over every area of my life. So how do we respond to that? That is, if that's his purpose, if the purpose of Christ is to be the Lord of every area of my life, how should I respond to that? And I've said to you already in this series of messages that we should respond by walking after him as Lord. Walking after him. The word that's used in the Bible to describe that is following Christ. Following him, walking after him. That is, you and I are not leading the way, but he is. We're following him. That is, we're following his leadership. We're walking after him as the Lord of our life. And we looked at the example of Peter as a great example of a man who learned how to walk with the Lord Jesus, who learned how to walk after him. And so if you and I are going to respond to his lordship like we should, then that means we got to walk after him as Lord. I said to you in the last service, that means that we need to worship before him as Lord. Responding to his lordship means not only I'm going to walk after him, but it means I'm going to worship before him. Those who know him as Lord, one of the things that characterizes their life is not only that they walk after him or follow him, but also they worship before him. We looked at some examples this past Sunday night of some women. The women were leading the way in the New Testament. They're the ones that are falling at his feet, wiping them with his hair, pouring ointment upon him, and worshiping him with everything they had. That is, pouring out the most expensive thing they had, ladies and gentlemen, on his feet. Others would consider it to be a waste, but to them it was worship. It was worship. The reason why is because they loved him. You see, when you're talking about walking after him, you're talking about the direction of your life. But when you're talking about worshiping before him, you're talking about the affection of your life. And listen, if he's Lord, that is, if his purpose is to be the Lord of our life, then that means that we need to follow his direction, walking after him. It means that we need to devote our affection on him. That means worshiping before him so that he's the one that we love more than anything or anybody else. Worshiping him. So I want you to think with me for a few moments tonight about a third way that you and I can respond to his purpose. His purpose is to be our Lord. So how should we respond? Not only to walk after him as Lord, not only to worship before him as Lord, but also to witness about him as Lord. You see, when we're talking about walking after him as Lord, we're talking about the direction of our life. When we're talking about worshiping before him as Lord, we're talking about the affection of our life. But when we're talking about witnessing about him as Lord, we're talking about the reflection of our life. That is, our life reflecting his lordship in such a way that others are able to see it. You see, that's really what it means to be a witness. To be a witness, ladies and gentlemen, means that you and I are able to reflect who He is in our life. That is, we're able to reflect the person and the work of Jesus Christ, what He's done in our life, and what we know to be true about Him. When we're talking about witnessing, we're talking about you and I communicating to others what we know about Him. A witness is somebody who shares what they know. If you were a witness in the court of law, that's what you would do. You would stand up there and you would swear to tell the truth, and then you would share what it is that you know about what it is that is being that is before the court. As a witness, you would share what it is that you know about a person or maybe about an event. Well, that's what it means to be a witness as well. That is, those who are going to be witnesses are those who know the Lord Jesus and they've received Him as Lord, and He has become the Lord of their life, and now they're sharing about Him. They're communicating the truth that they know about Him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are two main ways that you and I communicate to others who Jesus is and what it means to be saved. That is, to communicate to others or reflect to others our Lord. Two main ways. And that is, number one is by our lifestyle. That is, by the way that we live. If you're living under lordship, living under His lordship, then that's going to show. It's going to be communicated by your lifestyle, by the way that you live. The way that you and I live, that is our lifestyle, communicates a lot to the people around us. It tells the story. And those who are witnesses live a lifestyle that reflects Christ and His lordship. That is who He is. It's a lifestyle that demonstrates a love and affection for God and God's Word and God's people. That is, those who are living a lifestyle that is a witness, that reflects the lordship of Christ, they demonstrate that it's a lifestyle that demonstrates an affection for God. That is, that we love the Lord, and we love His Word, and we love His people. Now, you can't read the book of 1 John without understanding that. And that is, that the love of God that was demonstrated at the cross was deposited on the inside of you when you got saved. And for that reason, ladies and gentlemen, we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us, John tells us. And one of the evidences of the fact that we love God is that we love His people and we love His truth, or we love His Word. We don't just like it, we love it. We love His people, we love His Word, because we love Him. Now, the reason why we love Him is because the lover of God moved on the inside of us at our conversion. That is, this love that I'm talking about is not a natural love, but a supernatural love that became ours when the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us, and the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, somebody might say, well, why do you love Jesus so much? It's because the lover of Jesus lives inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit loves the Lord. He loves the Father. He loves the Word. He loves the people of God. And He took up residence in me one day, and you as well when you got saved. And for that reason, ladies and gentlemen, we love Him. Now, here's what I've discovered, and that is that those who love something, they reflect that. They reflect it. And if you love a certain sports team, you might wear a t-shirt that has that sports team logo on it. Some of you got one on tonight. And the reason why is because you love that team. That is, you're a fan of that team. And your dress reflects that. What I found out this, and that is, when you love Jesus, it affects every area of your life as well. If you love something, you're going to go around talking about it. If you love cars, you're going to talk about cars. If you love food, you're going to talk about the restaurant where you went and ate. If you love your grandkids, you're going to be going around talking about them. I could keep going on, but you get the idea. And that is, when you and I, listen, those who know Jesus as Lord, when you love Him, that demonstrates itself in your lifestyle. And that's a lifestyle that is a witness. It sets you apart from the rest of humanity. Hey, listen, you're living in a world that's full of anger and bitterness and frustration. And listen, when you're living in that world full of love and passion for God and the things of God, it is a powerful witness to those that you're around. They sense that. They see that in your life. That you're not just some religious hypocrite, but you genuinely and truly love the Lord. I'm talking to you how to be a witness in your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that demonstrates a love and affection for God and His Word and His people, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lifestyle that reveals Christ as the affection of our heart and the priority of our life, that He's the most important person in our life. It's a lifestyle that reveals, ladies and gentlemen, a desire for godliness and a hatred for sin. The lifestyle that reveals a desire to be godly, that I want to be godly and I hate sin. Not only do I hate the sin around me that's destroying people's lives. That is, when you see the sin destroying people's lives, there's something on the inside of you that hates what sin is doing. But ladies and gentlemen, it's also when you and I fall and stumble in sin, there's something on the inside of the redeemed that hates that and that has a desire for godliness in our life, that I want to be godly. Talking about the kind of lifestyle that reflects lordship. That's a witness to those that are around us. It's a lifestyle that demonstrates a real love and concern for others. That cares about other people. That loves them. Genuinely, not loving them for what they can do for us, but loving other people because we genuinely care about them and want to be a blessing to their life. I'm trying to talk about the lifestyle and give you kind of an idea of the kind of lifestyle that is a witness to our Lord Jesus. It's a lifestyle that demonstrates peace in the middle of problems. One of the most powerful witnesses that many of us have as far as our lifestyle is concerned is whenever you're right in the middle of a storm. That is, when you're going through a tough time and right in the middle of it, that you get to the Lord, that you come to Him in the middle of the storm and you find peace in the middle of the storm. And listen, other people see that and they can see that in your life. You're right in the middle of a battle that would destroy them and you've gotten before the Lord and found that peace that passes all understanding. It is a powerful testimony to a miserable world. When you're living in peace instead of in turmoil, even in the middle of the storm. Time talked to you about a lifestyle that is a witness to other people about our Lord. Did you know what's a lifestyle of openness and honesty instead of hypocrisy and lying? That is, you and I live in a world that is characterized by hypocrisy and lying. You know what I'm talking about? Because listen, you have a hard time trusting people. I know why you do, and the reason why is because when they call on the phone or text you or contact you, you know it's just a gimmick. Well, yeah, you've won something. All you got to do is just claim it. They want to give you something. Isn't that nice? And you look at that and you delete it. You don't answer back. And the reason why is because you know it is two-faced hypocrisy. Somebody's lying to you to try to get something out of you. Now listen, that's the world we live in. We constantly have to watch our back, not only by gimmicks like that, but even the people sometimes that you know well, that you know that you can't trust them. You just can't. They're always up to something. That's the world that we live in. But I want to tell you, when God's people, those who know the Lord, are living a lifestyle that's a witness, it is a lifestyle that is honest and truthful and open and not hypocritical and lying. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that honesty is like a fresh breeze in our culture. To meet somebody who's really honest and truthful and transparent, and not trying to put on a show. Even in religious circles, maybe especially in religious circles, there's a lot of show going on instead of real honesty and truthfulness. But what a powerful witness it is when there are people of God who are honest and truthful, just like the Scriptures tell us to be. You see, the kind of lifestyle that is a powerful witness, ladies and gentlemen, is a lifestyle that is transformed and changed. It's a different lifestyle than what you were before God saved you. It's a lifestyle that is continuously being transformed to be like our Lord Himself. It's a lifestyle that's going to be different from your family and your friends, those that aren't saved and those that are backslid on God. A lifestyle that is different from theirs. It's not going to be like theirs, and they're not going to quite know what to think about it, but they're going to admire it. They're going to look up to it. On the inside, and even though they may not say it, they're going to wish they could be there. Because it's real. And it's genuine. It's transformative. That is a powerful witness. That as you and I are learning, how should I respond to the fact that Jesus wants to be Lord of my life? We need to respond, ladies and gentlemen, by our witness, by witnessing about His Lordship. And one of the ways that we witness about His Lordship is in our lifestyle. Let me just say this. And that is, if Jesus' Lordship doesn't transform our lifestyle, then maybe we haven't really experienced His Lordship yet. Listen, living under His Lordship is transformative in your lifestyle. And that begins to reflect itself, and that's a powerful witness. But it's not just our lifestyle. Let me just say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that being a witness also involves our lips as well. It involves our lips. That is it. You and I can be witnesses by simply telling other people what we know about Jesus. And that is what it is that we know about His Lordship. What we know about the redemption that we have in Him. Witnessing with our lifestyle is essential. It demonstrates that something has happened in our life that has changed us and that has transformed us and left us with a life that is full of purpose and full of hope and full of peace. That's our lifestyle. But listen to me now. If we don't tell people with our lips what has happened to us, how will they know? If you live in a life that is characterized by hope and peace and joy, and listen, if you're living a transformed lifestyle, people might look at you and say, well, boy, wow. You know, they might look at your lifestyle and say, I wish that I could have that kind of peace and that kind of joy. And they look at that and maybe they'll make an assumption. Maybe they just assume that you were just born that way. Maybe just assume that you have that kind of a personality. Or maybe they just assume that, you know, you're just in a really great marriage. Or maybe they just assume that, you know, you've gone to some kind of conference and learned how to do that. How are they going to know how you got that way? The only way they're going to know how that happened is if you and I use our lips to tell them, hey, this is the reason why that I have this peace in the middle of the storm. This is the reason why that I love God and love His people and love His Word. This is the reason why I have so much hope and so much peace. The reason why is because of what Jesus did in my life. And you got to use your lips to be able to share about what God has done in your life. Otherwise, they'll never know. They'll admire your lifestyle, but they'll never know if you and I don't tell people about the Savior and about His Lordship over our life. So witnessing with our lifestyle is essential, but it's not a complete witness. You see, I just witness with my life. That's a half a witness. It's a half a witness. Because you and I have to also witness with our lips. And that is, we have to tell people about who Jesus is and about the redemption, the salvation that we have in Him. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not very good at talking to people about Jesus. Then you ought to work at it a little bit. You say, I don't know much Bible. Then you ought to get in your Bible and learn a little bit of Bible. You ought to memorize some verses that you can share. But most importantly, you ought to learn how to share your own story. You ought to learn how to tell what happened when God saved you. But what He did in your life and what He did in your heart. When He revealed to you your sin and your lostness. And when He brought you that point of brokenness. And when you cried out to Him and surrendered to Him and He saved you. And you've been following Him just to be able to tell your story. Now listen, if you don't have a story to tell, then that means you've never met Him. But if you've ever met Jesus, then you've got a story to tell. And you've got lips to tell it with. I know you do because I hear some of you talking. And some of you I hear talking a lot. So I know you can talk. And that's part of our witness. That's how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it means to be a witness. Hey, you know something about who Jesus is. You say, well, what am I going to tell them? Well, if you can't think of anything, just take some messages or lessons here at Eastern Gate and study them and learn how to talk to people and tell them about Jesus. But tell them your story. When I'm talking about witnessing, we're talking about communicating to others through our lifestyle and our lips about who Jesus is. Now, if he's Lord, then we ought to tell people, shouldn't we? I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. It seems like the way that I ought to respond to his desire to be Lord of my life, my response should be witnessing, telling others about him, reflecting his lordship. Now listen, that's something I need to be continuously doing in my life. It ought to be the main job of my life. Did you know that that's what our Lord told us to do? That is the reason why that this ought to be our response to lordship, is because the one who's our King, our Lord, said, this is what I want you to do. This is your job. Now listen, if you was a slave in this time period, in the first century, and your master, the one who owned you, said, this is your job, this is what I want you to do, then that's what you ought to do. That's what it means to be submissive to your Lord. Listen, if you were at a job, if you took a job somewhere, many of you have jobs, if you took a job and the one who's in authority over you at your workplace said, this is what I want you to do, then listen to me now, that's what you ought to do. Well, you and I have a Lord. That is the one who's the Lord of every area of our life. That is your job. Listen, you might have a boss when you're at work. But listen, you've got a Lord over you, every area of your life. And here's what our Lord has told us to do. He has told us, ladies and gentlemen, that we are to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he tells us. That is that you and I are to go and we're to share with others. We're to demonstrate to others and share in our lifestyle and with our lips. Our Lord told us that we're to go, and we're to go with the good news of the gospel and to share with others. He tells us that we're to make disciples of all men. He tells us this is what I want. He told his disciples, and by extension, all of us as believers, this is my purpose for you. This is the purpose of our Lord for us. Now, the only way to respond if we're living under lordship is to do what he says. Otherwise, we're not really living under his lordship. That is, by its very nature, living under lordship means that what the Lord says, that's what we do. It's what he's told us to do. That's our main job. Now, there are a lot of other things the Lord has told us to do. He's given us a lot of different commands in the Bible, and we know that. But listen to me now. Our main task, our main job, our main purpose as followers of Christ is to be a witness. That is to reflect to others who our Lord is with our lifestyle and our lips. And we're to keep on doing that. Now listen, if that's your task, or that's your main job, or that's your main purpose in life, then that's what you need to keep doing. That is, it needs to be a continuous thing in our life. It shouldn't be something that we just do once in a while, but it ought to be something that we do, that we're doing every day. It's kind of like having a job. And that is, if you have a job, that means that you probably have to go to your job every day, maybe 5 or 6 days a week. Well, you have to go to a job and you have to be there and you have to keep doing it week after week, day after day, week after week, until maybe one day you reach to the point of retirement. But what I found out is in the kingdom of our Lord, this is something that you and I get to do, ladies and gentlemen, every day and 7 days a week. And guess what? There is no retirement. That is, we never reach a point in our life that we need to stop telling the story. As a matter of fact, the older you get, the more you need to tell. And tell people about who Jesus is. This is our main task that we need to be doing all the time. Hey, when you're at your job, you're on a mission field. God has divinely and sovereignly given you the job he has so that you're in contact with the people that you are, so that you can be his witness to those people. Hey, when you go down to the gas station to fill your car up with gas, there's a reason why that you chose that gas station, and that is there's somebody there that needs to know something about the Lordship of Christ. It might be that it's not just the good bargains you get at that store, but that God has placed on your heart to go to that store because there are people there that need to hear about Jesus. Now, I could keep going on, but you get the point. It shouldn't be any surprise to you that you and I were born when we were born, and that we live where we live at the place that we do and not somewhere else in the world. We're here strategically placed by a sovereign God providentially so that you and I can be a witness right where we are and to be on mission where we are. You say, Pastor, I'd like to go on a mission trip. Why don't you just start right where you're at? Start where you're at. As has been said many times, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. Matter of fact, if it's not shining at home, it probably doesn't need to go anywhere else. That is, it starts right here, right where we're at, right where we are living. Just continuously, ladies and gentlemen, being a witness, a reflection of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose, and that's what we ought to do. Always being sharing the gospel at all times, at every opportunity. If the church sets aside a time to go out and witness, you ought to want to do it. But it's not just then, it's all the time, wherever we are, at all times. Even in times of difficulty and struggle, there have been so many in our church that have found an open door of gospel witness in hospitals during times of suffering and times of sickness. And whether we're prosperous or whether we're poor, it doesn't, listen, our purpose remains the same. Our task remains the same. Whether we're healthy or whether we're not, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we have a position in the church or whether we don't, our purpose is the same, and that is to be a witness or reflection of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to speak to us now about how to respond to the purpose of our Lord. His purpose is to be our Lord, and if that's true, then you and I not only should walk before Him, or should walk after Him and worship before Him, but we should be witnessing about Him. I've been trying to share with you what that means, what it means to be a witness. To tell other people what you know about Jesus, do with your lifestyle, do with your lips, and be doing it all the time. Now, you and I have some models of witnessing in the Bible. Some models. One of the words, examples of witnesses in the Bible for us. And that is, we have examples of those who are living under the Lordship of Christ. And one of the things that stands out about them, ladies and gentlemen, is their witness. And that is, God is using them to reflect who He is. To reflect who God is. I want to just mention to you a few of those examples or a few of those models in the Bible. In other words, somebody who is a model is somebody who shows what it looks like. And that is, it might be somebody modeling clothes. That is, there are those who model clothes, they put on clothes, and they model those clothes so that everybody can see what those clothes look like on a person. Well, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to witnessing, you and I can see what it looks like on a person. We have models in the Bible. For example, there's a man named John the Baptist. And oh, what a model John the Baptist is. If I had to say something about John the Baptist, I would say that he had the right purpose. Notice what the Bible says about him in John chapter number 1 for a few moments. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came. Here is his purpose. The same came for a witness. That's why he came. That's what his life was about. The purpose of John the Baptist's life, ladies and gentlemen, was not to raise locusts or wild honey. The purpose of John the Baptist's life was not to be a model of camel skin clothing. No, that's not what he was. He was not a model of the latest camel skin garments, but he was a model of a witness. The Bible says here that that's why he came. He came to be a witness, that is, to bear witness of the light. The light, of course, is the Lord Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Jesus is the true light, and he's just a reflection of the light. Amen. That's what he is. And he's not the light, but I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he sure is a reflection of it. That's John the Baptist. And he tells us here that's what his purpose was. That's what his purpose was. When you think about John the Baptist, if you ever just sit down and think about John the Baptist, and what you think about when you think about John the Baptist, you think about his ministry of telling people about Jesus that is coming. And then when Jesus arrived on the scene, he presented Jesus to them as the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. He's just reflecting the divine light, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, as he came into the world. And that's what God wants you to do as well. There's a light that is shining, ladies and gentlemen. And his name is Jesus. And listen, God's purpose for us is to reflect that light. That is like the moon reflects the light of the sun. Even so, we reflect the light of Christ, the Lordship. That is who Jesus really is. Now, John did that. That was his whole purpose in life. Now, I'm sure that John did other things in life. John probably had a job. He probably did a job. And so we can make a little bit of money. Now, his lifestyle was simple. And that his locust and wild honey probably weren't too expensive. And as I said to some folks in Sunday school this past Sunday, that his locust and wild honey is a simple diet. One of the reasons why that John the Baptist probably ate locust and wild honey, one of the reasons why is because of the fact that it didn't take much time to do it. He didn't have a time to spend a lot of time preparing food, growing food and preparing food. Locust and wild honey, all you had to do was just find it, grab it, and eat it. And if you cook those little rascals, it wouldn't take long. Hey, by the way, just so you'll know, you say, preacher, that's gross. But did you know in the Old Testament law, some of you know this already, in the Old Testament law, right after God in the law told the Israelites they couldn't eat any pork chops, he told them they could eat locusts. He sure did. And John the Baptist did that. Now listen, when you think about John the Baptist, the thing that you think about is probably not his diet, it probably is not his dress of camel hair. But ladies and gentlemen, you think about his ministry. Because that was his purpose. And that's God, listen, that should be our purpose. He's modeling for us what it looks like to be a witness. And that is, it's got to be the purpose of your life. It can't be something secondary. Listen, what you eat and what you wear is secondary. It's not your real purpose. Now, know that that's, listen, in our world today, that's what life is about. Life is about this flesh. It's about the outward body. It's about taking care of the outer body. That is, it's all about feeding the body. It's all about how well we clothe this body. For our culture, it's how we house the body and how we transport the body. It's all about the car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, the designer shoes now, maybe that you have. I could go on. It's all about this flesh. It's all about the newest craze in hairstyle or dress style or whatever it might be. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that John the Baptist cared little about that. His purpose was to bear witness to the light. And he set a good example. He modeled a good model before us. If you want to be a powerful witness, you've got to get past yourself. That is, your purpose can't be about you. It can't be about you enriching your lifestyle. It can't be about what you want for yourself. But listen to me now, your purpose, your main purpose in life has got to be reflecting the light. And that is the truth about Jesus. John the Baptist is a good model for us, not only because he had the right purpose, but he also was pointing to the right person. He pointed to the right person. Here in John chapter number 1 and verse 29, there's that wonderful passage when the Bible says this about John the Baptist. It says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he. He said to everybody, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. In other words, John, when he saw Jesus coming, ladies and gentlemen, to paraphrase this, he pointed him. He said, there he is. Hey, folks, remember that guy's telling you about, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes and carry his shoes. I'm not worthy to even be his slave. Hey, you know the one I was telling you about that's going to come baptizing with the Spirit and fire? You know him? There he is. Behold, or look at him. There he is. Oh, John, not only, ladies and gentlemen, had the right purpose, but he pointed to the right person. He sure did. You see, that's what witnessing looks like. That is, those who are living under lordship know that our Lord has given us divine instructions or a task to do, and that's to be his witnesses. And that becomes our purpose in life. No matter where you're at in life. Well, listen, God may never call you to preach or pastor a church. He may never call you to be an evangelist and travel the world. But here's what I've been discovering. And that is that there are people that God has placed into your life, divinely and providentially, that may never hear the preacher preach. that may never hear the evangelist evangelize, but may be able to listen to you as you share with them about the hope that you have in Christ. That becomes the purpose of our life. And listen, if you're going to be a witness, you got to point to the right person. The right person. His name is Jesus. That's the right person. Point to him. Hey, listen. Be like John the Baptist. You want to talk about somebody? Talk about Jesus. As a matter of fact, if somebody comes up to you and says and starts talking to you about somebody, and it may not be positive, it might be negative, why don't you just talk about Jesus? Just tell them about him. That is, they're bad-mouthing somebody. That's what the world does. That is, in workplaces, there's so much negative talk about everybody at work and those in authority and the boss over you. So much negative talk in our society, ladies and gentlemen. And whether it be in the political world, so much negative talk. And whether it be in workplaces and even in families, that is, when families get together, they want to gossip about other family members. Instead of acting like lost people, why don't we act like saved people? And do like John the Baptist and start talking about him. I'm talking about Jesus. You say, Pastor, well, I mean, how would you work that in? You just start talking about him. I mean, somebody's gossiping about somebody else and they're talking negative about somebody else, and as soon as they look to you for a response, then just say, you know what, my pastor was preaching last Sunday about a story in the Bible about Jesus, and I really liked it. And just start telling them what you learned about Jesus. And just watch. Just watch what happens. You didn't feed into the negative talk. You didn't fuel the bitter fire that's burning on the inside of that person. But instead, you're pointing them to Jesus. Who he is. Because he's the one they need to know about. Here's what I'm trying to talk to you about being a witness. We have models of witnessing in the Bible. John the Baptist is a great model for all of us. And that is, he had the right purpose and he was pointing to the right person. Let me just give you another good model for us. The model, the best model, ladies and gentlemen, is our Lord himself. It is our Lord himself. And if John the Baptist had the right purpose and pointed to the right person, then Jesus had the right appetite and the right vision. Look at John chapter number 4, and we'll spend a few moments there before we're done. In John chapter number 4, Jesus is down there at Jacob's well. He's traveling through Samaria, and the Bible says he's sitting there by Jacob's well while the disciples are in the city of Sychar. And you know what they're doing? They went there to buy some food. You know what they're doing? They're doing what all the world does, just trying to take care of this old body, trying to feed the body. But Jesus is out there by Jacob's well because he has a divine appointment. There's a woman that comes out there to draw water. Remember the Samaritan woman? She comes out to draw water. And Jesus said, listen, why don't you get me a little bit of water? I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time. Why don't you draw out a little bit of water for me? And she said, well, my goodness, I am so surprised that you, being a Jew, would ask me, a woman of Samaria, to ask for water. And he said, well, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for a drink of water, and I'd give you a drink of water, and you'd never thirst again. Oh, she, ladies and gentlemen, she was taken back by that. She got to thinking about that and thinking, well, this guy has water that I can drink and I'll never thirst again. Then I'd like to have some of that magic water. You know, they advertise it on TV, just a little bit of this magic water, and it'll heal every ailment that you have. If this guy has some magic water, I want some of that. I'll send in my $19.99 just to get some of that magic water. If you have that, I'll take it. I'll take some of that water, and I'll never have to come to this well ever again. I'll never thirst. I'll never have to make the trip. Now, I know none of us appreciate that. You just turn the little knob on your faucet. But if you had to walk outside the city to Jacob's well with a bucket of water and carry it back to town, back to your house, ladies and gentlemen, that would not be an easy task. It would be a burdensome task, and it'd be a whole lot better if you just never had to do that. So if you take a drink of this magic water and never have to thirst again, that would be great. I'll take some of that water. Jesus explained to her that what he was talking about, ladies and gentlemen, was not just water, but it was everlasting life. And then he said this. His response was, go call your husband. Strange response. Go get your husband. She was quiet for a moment or two. You know she was. And then finally she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And now you're living with a man that's not your husband. You say, why would the Lord bring up something? I mean, you're going to run her off? No, listen. He was confronting her with her sinful condition. That's how he deals with sinners. He exposes their sinfulness. Folks, listen, she immediately ran to her religion. She immediately said, I perceive that you're a prophet, and our fathers, we have this Mount Gerizim where the Samaritans built a temple and worshipped, ancient temple and worshipped, and you have at Jerusalem, I have my religion, you have yours. And Jesus told her, he said, listen, there's coming a time when it doesn't matter where you're at, the location, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember that? He said it's not about your location, it's about the condition of your heart. And by the way, salvation comes through the Jews, not through the Samaritans. He exposed the fact that not only was she a sinner, but she had put her faith in a false religious system. And he knocked her props out from underneath of her. She's propping up on her religion. He knocked it out. And he just kept dealing with her. Finally, she got to the point that she said this. She said, well, when the Messiah comes. Jesus brought her to the point where she knew the only one who could help her was the Messiah, was Jesus. And all he could say, all he said was, I that speak unto thee am he. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but we know this happened, is that she believed the gospel right then. Left her water pot, headed into the city to tell everybody about Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples came from the city of Sychar. They've been out there to buy meat. They were just concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about feeding their bellies. That's all they cared about. And when they saw Jesus talking to that woman, they were surprised and shocked that he would be doing that. And they stayed back until she was gone. And then they came up to him and said, Master, we've got some food to eat if you'd like to have something to eat. We went into town. We bought some stuff. We got some fish here if you'd like some fish. We got some bread here if you'd like some bread. And Jesus said, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. And they thought, well, somebody slipped him a little bit of food along the line. And Jesus said, no, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now listen, if you and I could say that more important than eating to me is doing the will of him that saved me, to do his work, that is to witness to a woman that nobody else wanted to be around. This is not a popular person, but a rejected, sinful woman. A woman whose life is messed up. By her own testimony, her life is really messed up. And Jesus has taken the time to witness to her. And he said the reason why is because that's what the will of the Father is. Now, if you and I could say that, if we could say my meat, more important to me than eating, is sharing the gospel, telling somebody else that nobody else may not even like, whose life is wrecked by sin, telling them about the living water, then we'll begin to understand what it looks like to live under his lordship. That's what it looks like, to live under his lordship. Jesus had the right appetite. He was hungry for the right thing. He was hungry to do the will of the Father. And I tell you, he had the right vision too. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said to the disciples at that point, he said, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white unto harvest. Don't say there's 4 months until the harvest comes. The harvest is ready. It's ready now. And while he's saying that, the people in the city of Sychar are traveling out to where Jesus is at. Some of them already believe because of the testimony of the woman. Others are coming to hear him for themselves. The same people, the same town where they had been buying meat, probably hadn't witnessed anybody. And now here they come to hear Jesus because of the witness of this woman. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look. Open your eyes and see." You say, "Pastor, I wouldn't know who to witness to." Open up your eyes and look. The fields are white unto harvest. There are people all around us that need to hear about who Jesus is. If you and I are going to respond to the purpose of Christ, remember what his purpose is? This is why he died, rose, and revived, to be the Lord, to be our Lord. The way to respond is not only by walking after him, and worshiping before him, but if we're going to live under his lordship, that means we need a witness about him, about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're working in us. And I pray, God, that you would speak loudly to our hearts, work powerfully in our lives, that you'd open our eyes and let us see the fields that are wide into harvest, so many people who need to hear about you. And Father, I pray that, God, you do a work in us that would give us a hunger, a desire, Father, to do your will, God, to follow your command to share the gospel. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.